Romans 12, verse 3 says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, unto every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt every man a measure of faith." What has God given every man? A measure of faith. Every person in this room, every person living today, every person that has ever lived has been given a measure of faith. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 17. Let's turn to Matthew 17. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. And we thank you that we are gathered together to study your word and sing about you and to pray to you. And Lord, we just pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning, that your Holy Spirit would attend my words, that your Holy Spirit would just speak to everyone in the way that they need this morning. I pray that people would be encouraged and blessed this morning. So we thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Matthew 17, and we're going to look at verse 19. Matthew 17, verse 19. And just a little bit of history here. Jesus had sent his disciples out two by two to heal and to heal all manner of disease. And there was one man in particular, his son. They couldn't cast the demon out. And so later he came and he said, your disciples couldn't cast him out. And so he said, well, it takes faith and fasting. And so he cast him out. And so we're going to pick it up in verse 19. Then came the disciples apart to Jesus apart and said, "Why could we not cast him out?" And Jesus said in verse 20, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence from yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." And then on the screen here, I have the same thing, or the disciples asked the Lord in Luke 17, 5 and 6, said, Lord, increase our faith. And that's a common question we all have, or that's something that we want, is the Lord to increase our faith. And the Lord said, "If you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you." Now notice how Jesus uses mustard seed as a symbol of faith. And every person in this room has a mustard seed of faith, which is symbolic of the measure of faith that God has given every person. It's a gift of God. God has given every person a mustard seed-sized measure of faith. What is the point of a seed? The point of a seed is to be planted so that it can develop into what it was meant to be, so that it can grow, so that it can produce fruit. If it's never planted, it will never produce anything. Nothing will ever come out of it. And so when we see this mustard seed, I want us to think of our mustard seed of faith. And we are to recognize that there is potential within this seed to develop into something bigger. And Jesus used the same concept of the mustard seed concept to represent the kingdom of God as well. So turn with me to Luke 13. Luke 13. Luke 13, and we are going to read verses 18 and 19. And then he said, this is Jesus, unto what is the kingdom of God like, and whereunto shall I resemble it? Well, it is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew, and it waxed into what? A great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. So we learned that a mustard seed is symbolic of a measure of faith that God has given every person. And here in Luke, Jesus described the kingdom of God as a mustard seed as well. And here in these analogies, we see that the purpose or the true intention of the seed is made very clear to us. It is meant to be planted so that it can become what it was meant to be. And I think that that's what Jesus wanted us to think about when we think of a mustard seed of faith. The seed is meant to be planted so that it can become what it was meant to be. And when we plant the mustard seed of faith, we are to think about its potential. Can a mustard seed size of faith move a mountain? Well, just like there is potential in a seed to grow into something great, there is potential in our faith to do great things as well. And that's because God takes this tiny mustard seed of faith that he gave us, by the way, and he turns it into this. Now, this is the same picture, but the focus has changed. It's like going to the eye doctor. Who's been to the eye doctor before? There's a lot of people. And the eye doctor, he puts up these images. And he asks you the question. He has two different slides. And he says, which one is clearer? Is this clearer or is this clearer? He says, do you see this one better or do you see this one better? And you're like, I don't know. They both look the same. It's the same picture. And there's a slight difference. And you have to pick up which one is better so that he can, you know, make your vision look at the right thing and see the right thing clearly. And so there's one picture that's clearer than the other one. That's because faith is about vision. And I want you guys to write that down on your piece of paper. Write down, faith is about vision. Faith is about vision. Faith enables us to see something that we could not clearly see before. If all you saw was the seed, If all you saw was the seed in focus, but failed to identify the possibility of the tree in the picture, then you may never get past this little seed. And I don't know if I can go back in my slide. It might just keep going. I might have to back out. But this one's important, so let's go to this one. Can we start it from there? Just push slideshow, and from the slide you're on, right? Current slide, right there. Okay, yay! All right. Okay, so if all we saw was the seed in focus, but failed to identify the possibility of the tree in the background, in the picture, then you may never get past that little seed. Because here we are on the road of life, and it's quite clear that we have a mustard seed sized faith, faith of the size of a mustard seed. Unfortunately, our focus tends to get stuck on this tiny, insignificant seed. What could possibly come out of something this small? And the potential represented by the tree in the background remains blurry and out of focus. And it makes sense, because on this road of life that we have here behind me, we can only see clearly what is in our immediate surroundings. Anything further than a certain point becomes blurry and fairly undistinguishable. Without my glasses on, I can't see clearly past my fingertips. And that's how our vision is on this earth. It's blurry, it's faulty, it's limited. And so we might tend to think that because we can't see any future potential clearly enough, that maybe there isn't anything there significant, that is of significance beyond the seed. But let us throw away that train of thought, because God has given us a seed to represent faith. And the seed is not the end or a dead end, it is the beginning. We think of a farmer. And so when the seed is planted, what does it mean? Planting the seed of faith means to exercise faith. When a seed is planted, it is hidden in the ground. And when the seed is planted, it is no longer the object of our focus because it's out of sight. It's in the dirt. It's under the ground. And we have to wait for the plant to develop. Turn with me to Mark 4. Mark 4. Mark 4, and we're going to pick up in verse 26. And so the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast a seed into the ground, and so should sleep and rise. What does he do? He rises night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, and he knows not how. For the earth brings forth the fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after that, the full corn and the ear. And I want you to notice that the farmer rises night and day to see if it has sprouted, to see if anything has come forth. He's consistent. He's watching. He's waiting. He does not know how it's growing or if it's growing while it's under the dirt. He doesn't see anything at all, but he's faithful to wait and to watch. James 5:7 says, Behold, the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. So the Israelite farmer in Jesus' day was dependent upon the early and the latter rain. And the early rain caused the seed to sprout. But if the early rain never came, then nothing would ever sprout. Nothing would come of it. Nothing would develop. And then the latter rain matured the plant, and it brought forth ripe fruit. But if the latter rain never came, then the plant would never mature, and there would never be any ripe fruit for the harvest. And so the early and the latter rain, it was out of their hands. They had no control over it. They depended upon God to bring about the growth and the development of their crops from the beginning all the way until the end. And so the parable of the mustard seed of faith, with the parable of the mustard seed of faith, it is God that brings about the growth and development of our faith, if we would but trust him. So when he tells us that our faith represents this tiny seed, we need to remember to look beyond the seed and realize with the eyes of faith the potential and possibilities that God sees, which is the tree in focus. Faith is about focus. And that's the next thing I want you guys to write down on your piece of paper. Faith is about focus. Faith is about focus. Where is your focus this morning? Is your focus on how pitifully small your seed of faith is? Or is your focus on the seed's potential? The great tree that is only possible through the provision and power of God. Now, the mustard seed in the picture that I have is not the typical mustard seed that we think of, a little tiny thing that you could barely see. This is a mustard seed. As I was doing my research, in the Middle East and in Asia and in a lot of Africa, there's actually a mustard tree called Salvadora persica, and it's an evergreen type of tree. And it's always green, and it can grow. It has a potential to grow up to 20 feet, sometimes 35 feet has been reported. And then when it gets that high, it also has a crown of leaves that can be 20 feet in diameter. So it can get really huge. The leaves and the fruits can be eaten. And it's spicy, like mustard. And its branches and twigs have long been used as toothbrushes. And so you might have heard of the pilu tree. It's also called a miswak, the toothbrushes that you used to use over there. And I'm assuming, I don't know for sure, obviously, but I'm assuming this is the seed that Jesus was thinking about, this tree. It's not as small as the mustard seed we have here, but this seed's probably about the size of my fingernail. You guys look at your fingernail and look at that. That's how a 20-foot tree, maybe, the potential of a 20-foot tree coming out of that is incredible. There's also a black mustard seed over there, a little bit bigger than the ones we have here, but you guys have probably heard of it. And given the right growing conditions, it can develop into a large bush maybe 10, 15 feet. So maybe that's what he was thinking about as well. So one of the two. I want us to talk a little bit about the space between the seed and the tree. Because this is almost always the problem with our faith, the space between, right here, between the seed and the tree. Why? Because this space may seem quite impossible. It might seem like a vast chasm. There may be certain things that we're praying about, that you have on your list, that we have no answers for. We don't know what the solution is. It's out of our hands. There might be certain things that you're struggling with that just really seems like it requires the miracle of God in your life. And how do we get from the seed to the tree? Turn with me to Matthew 9. Let's go to Matthew 9. Matthew 9, we're going to start in verse 27. Matthew 9, verse 27. All right. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy upon us." And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said unto them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And they said, what did they say? "Yes, Lord." And then they touched their eyes, saying, he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it done unto you." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, "See that no man know it, lest they hinder his work at that time." So let's look at this account a little bit closer. They heard Jesus walking by. You can imagine them hearing him coming, and they cried out to him, "Thou son of David, have mercy upon us." But he continued to walk. And they could have thought, well, he doesn't hear us. And they could have stopped calling out to him because he didn't answer their call right away. He didn't answer their request. Where is his mercy? And you might think of the account of blind Bartimaeus, how he was told to be quiet. Don't bother the master. He has places to go and things to do, and that would have been really discouraging to me. And perhaps he would have not said anything more. But that wasn't the case. He continued to cry out all the more. And so these men somehow, blindly, I don't know how, but they stumbled after Jesus. And he entered a house. And again, they could have thought, well, now he really doesn't care. Perhaps he's trying to avoid us. And here was another opportunity to turn away. Here was another opportunity to let doubt prevail. But no, they entered the house as well, and because faith is a choice. And I want you to write that down on your piece of paper this morning. Faith is a choice. Faith is a choice. What are we going to do with the faith that God has given us? The two blind men, they did not give up. They chose to continue to walk by faith. They chose to continue to pursue God, even though they didn't get a response from Jesus right away. And so they entered the house. And it is there that Jesus turned and he addressed their faith that they had chosen to exercise. And he asked them for confirmation, "Do you believe that I am able to do this thing unto you," meaning restore their sight. And their answer was, "Yes, Lord." And so he touched their eyes and he told them, "According to your faith, be it done unto you." And at that moment, their eyes were opened and they could see. They received the reward of their faith. Now there was a journey. There was a waiting period. There was a process. There was a pursuit. There was a continued trust, perseverance, and diligence in seeking Jesus. They did not give up. And so what is your answer in regards to the prayer request that you have written down? What is your answer in regards to the challenges in your life that you have written down that may seem impossible to you? Jesus asks you today, Do you believe that I am able to do this thing unto you? And what is your reply? I want to encourage you to write your reply down on your piece of paper. Because we have to see that the space between the seed and the tree is a place where God exists. It is not empty space. It is a place where God works. And while he is working, we may not be able to see clearly what he is doing or how he is doing it, like the seed that is planted in the dirt. The space between, we are to seek Jesus diligently and to trust him as he works in ways that we cannot always see or understand. We may not receive the fruition or the reward of our faith right away. In fact, it may take years. Has anyone prayed for something for years? Perhaps that's one of your prayer requests now. But you can know, we can know that if we continue to trust Jesus and to seek his face and to keep our eyes focused on him, that the fervent prayer of a righteous saint availeth much. So the place between the seed and the tree is where God is doing his work, visible or not visible. And it is the place where we are to walk by faith. There is a journey. There may be a waiting period. There is a process. There must be a continued pursuit of Jesus. There must be continued trust, perseverance, diligence, and seeking Jesus. Do not give up. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, Hebrews 11:1. So at first, the blind men, they did not have sight, but they saw with the eyes of faith the reward of their faith. And when the blind men heard that Jesus was passing by, they realized the potential in the seed of faith that God had given them. And hope was sparked in the darkness. And they set their focus on the potential for great things through Jesus Christ. And before sight, there was a cry of faith. Before sight, there was a walk of faith. Turn with me to Matthew 14. Matthew 14. Matthew 14, we're going to pick up in verse 22. Matthew 14, verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Verse 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Verse 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, and the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out in fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And Jesus said, what? What did he say? Come. And Peter was come down out of the ship, and he walked on water to go to Jesus. Now stop right there. We're going to look at this for a moment. Faith is a choice. What was Peter going to do with the faith that Jesus had given him? He chose to plant the seed of faith, which means that he chose to get out of the boat. And when he did, in faith, believing that with God all things are possible, that faith, that walk of faith, was rewarded by the miracle of God. When was the miracle of God supplied? When he chose to walk by faith. There is divine power. This is where divine power meets our lives, when we choose to exercise the faith that God has given us. And when we do, God meets that faith with his divine power. Peter didn't walk on water because he had within himself the ability to walk on water. He walked on water because Jesus made his feet of faith step on solid ground. Now let's look back at Peter's walk of faith. Where did we leave off? What verse? Verse 30? Okay, here we are, verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, "Lord, save me!" And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And when they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, O of a truth, thou art the Son of God. I want you to take note of the process of losing faith. What happened in his walk of faith? He looked away from Jesus. Because remember, faith is about vision. And it matters what we look at. It matters what we study. It matters what we fill our minds with. What did Jesus see when he looked away from Jesus? The waves and the wind, boisterous, the storm. Because faith is about focus. And since he had no longer looked at the author and finisher of his faith, Jesus was no longer in focus, and the waves became his focus. They became very clear to him, and he began to sink. And so in that moment of blindness, because he was no longer looking at his Savior, he no longer had vision, he no longer had the right focus, and so that in that moment of blindness, he began to sink. And when he began to sink, or when did he begin to sink? When he became blinded by doubt. Jesus said unto him, "O thou of little faith, why did you doubt?" Why did he have so little faith at that moment? Because he looked away from the source of his faith. And when we look away from Jesus, whether out of fear or pride or selfishness or sinfulness, doubt prevails and faith fails. When does faith fail? When we look away from the author of our faith. Let's look at our last verse here, Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with such great cloud of witness, let us do what? Lay aside every weight. Think about what that might be. And the sin which does so easily beset us. Think about what that might be. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That's that walk of faith here described as a race. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. And then he was set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider who? Jesus, that endured such a contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be what? Wearied and faint in your minds. I want to summarize. Faith is about vision. Faith is about focus. Faith is a choice. We have been given a mustard seed-sized measure of faith. What are we going to do with it? Our mustard seed-sized measure of faith is not meant to stay a seed. It is meant to become a tree, so plant it. Planting the seed is choosing to exercise faith. The space between the seed and the tree is where we walk by faith. It is the place where God works to develop our faith into a living plant. There is a journey. There might be a waiting period. Here we must continue to pursue Jesus, morning and evening, watching and waiting consistently every day, spending time in his word and in his presence, surrendering and committing ourselves to him. When we choose to walk by faith, when we choose to exercise faith, divine power is present, and we experience the power of God in our lives. And the Bible is full of examples of walking by faith and planting that seed. For example, it's like the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes that fed over 5,000 people. It's like the little boy, David, walking out to meet the giant, the Philistine giant. It's like stepping your foot into the Red Sea before it has yet to part. And I want to take these biblical examples and I want to make them into a personal application. So when we bring our 5 loaves and our 2 fishes, and we say, Lord, it's all I have, here you go, he multiplies it. When we say, okay, Lord, send me, I will go meet the giants, I will go to war, I will put on the armor of God, and I will fight, God supplies a victory. When we seem trapped between the Red Sea and the Egyptian army, and we choose to move forward in obedience and step out in faith into the Red Sea, God will part the waters. When we choose to get out of the boat and walk to Jesus, he will make our feet of faith step on solid ground. When we have fished all night long and we didn't catch anything, but Jesus tells us to go back out and to cast our net again, he will fill that net with fish more than we could ever imagine. So when we choose to exercise faith, divine power is present, and we will experience the power of God in our lives. And that is what faith looks like in action. So plant your seed and walk by faith.